Raleigh James, are you there, Raleigh?
I am here.
Listen to you. It's the Raleigh James from the Raleigh James Show. Appearing here on the Food Fight.
Yes.
Apparently to talk about Mexican Coke.
Indeed. I'm chilling one as we speak.
That makes two of us.
Ah.
I know. I was supposed to pick something, you know, opposite Mexican Coke. So I said, okay, I'll do Pepsi. All right. But then I realized I'd never tried any Mexican Coke. And I found some. I got some.
Okay,
and
there's rules. Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. Lay it on
can't
me.
Can't just drink it. Okay. Firstly, right. You're old enough to remember the vending machines of our childhood when you'd pull the bottle out and it would be a bottle and it would be damn near freezing. Just the ice crystals were just forming. That's how you have to drink it. There can be no ice in this. It cannot be poured in a glass. You must drink it from the bottle. And the temperature has to be just as those ice crystals are forming.
Well, I think I'm pretty close on all counts. I don't see any ice crystals forming, but I'm not going to pour this in a glass over ice. I got it right out of the out of the bottle.
Right. As long as it's been in a freezer for about 20 minutes, you're probably good to go.
Well, I'll tell you, it tastes like I'm good to go. Yeah. It's not disagreeing with me, if you know what I'm saying.
Good.
And I never had it before. And I have to tell you, Raleigh, it's one of the best things I ever had. Seriously. I'm like, I said to my wife, have you ever had this? This is like what Coke used to be. I mean, you know, you talked about when we were kids and bottles would come out of the vending machine and then they would taste like this. This is just, it's a revelation to me. I mean,
Good night.
Yeah, you do. No, it's a landslide. The only downside to it, and that has absolutely nothing to do with the taste of it, as much as the size of the bottle, which is, I believe, 12 ounces.
Yeah.
It has a ton of cane sugar in it, right?
Uh-huh.
That's about it. It's been so many years of drinking different bottle products that something that's 12 ounces is unusual now. I mean, you know, I've got bottles of Coke Zero in the fridge. And I started drinking that because it tasted more like Coke than Diet Coke did. And but those bottles are like, what, 16 ounces, whatever they are? I should go back and take a look.
Just have two Mexican Cokes. Then you'll have 24 ounces. You'll be happy. I do.
Do you get a little buzzed, if you don't mind me using that?
You know, for whatever reason, I'm not affected by caffeine other than it makes me sleepy. Yeah, it makes me sleepy. Yeah.
It makes you sleepy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are some of us who have that paradoxical relationship with substances.
Yes, paradoxical.
Yeah,
But,
you know, the history of this is somewhat interesting because originally it was Mexican Coke because that's the way it was throughout Mexico. But about a decade or so ago, Mexico allowed for the first time, they changed the laws that you could use high fructose corn syrup. High fructose corn syrup is not only cheaper, but it more easily mixes than sugar. And so the whole country went to that. However, there were two bottlers, one in Tijuana and the other in Juarez. Both of which said, hey, wait a minute, we can charge more for this on the specialty market in the U.S. So they make it for us. It's not what they sell in Mexico any longer. Now, as far as going back, you'll remember the new Coke debacle. And there are some of us, some conspiratorialists like me, who believe that that was all designed, 100% designed, so that they could bring it back with fanfare, only it would be brought back with high fructose corn syrup.
Now, I wouldn't doubt that for a minute.
Right. In addition to that, of course, it gave them more shelf space, which is what it's about in the grocery store.
Sure.
But recently, I had to go on a cruise. It's a long story. It wasn't my choice. But so on I went, and I'm just not the type.
I went, and of course,
I was only going to drink. They didn't have bottled soda. Forget about it. So I said, well, at least it's got to be in cans. And so these cans, they were terrible. It was downright bitter. And after a day, I looked at the can, and it was bottled in South Africa. broke my heart. It wasn't until the ship changed their supplies in Hawaii that they bottled something from San Antonio, which, oh, thank God, it tastes like America. Yeah, the bottler is important. And I've discovered that even across the country, there are minute differences in all the bottlers.
Yeah, well, not only that, but there's differences I found, like, in restaurants or where you get it by the glass, where they get the syrup, right? Where you get the, and then there's a variety of ways that they do or do not put the concoction together correctly. You know what I'm talking about.
The carbonation is off. But on top of that, these clueless bartenders don't realize that if they poured ice in the glass and there's water at the bottom of the glass because the ice has been there a while or whatever, you can't go ahead and put Coke on top of it because you will kill the carbonation. So if you're going to use ice, God forbid, you have to make sure that ice is frozen and dry, because the minute it starts to liquefy, there goes your carbonation.
You know, I don't think a lot of people are as stringent and strict about the rules of consuming Mexican Coke or any other kind of beverage as you are. Where did your enthusiasm for all of this come from?
You know, I don't have any vices. I've never had a cup of coffee. I've never had an alcoholic drink. I've never had a cigarette.
And you're in radio?
In radio. But I mean, to me, Coca-Cola was for breakfast and every other meal.
Yeah.
You know, especially throughout the South. There was no reason that you couldn't have it with every conceivable meal.
Yes.
And so I do love it. But I will say, in restaurants, the biggest thing they do, and the one thing I will tell anybody who wants at least a little better carbonation, is if they come around and they want to top off your glass, absolutely not. Fresh glass every time.
Right. Good idea. And we're going to continue with she's already won, by the way, if you're just tuning in. The quote-unquote food fight is over. I concede quite happily, quite frankly, to Raleigh and Mexican Coke, and we'll do some more when we come back on 720 WGN. Yeah, John Landecker and Raleigh James. And, you know, Raleigh, one of the things I attempt on the food fight is to see if I can find a piece of music or a commercial for whatever it is we're talking about. And I went all over, at least as far as I could do, the internet today.
You could have settled for Junk Food Junkie, because after all, my diet can best be described as a 9-year-old whose parents are away for the weekend.
Well, listen, there's one thing. Well, there's a number of things I'd like to talk to you about, but you've been in radio a while, and I believe, it's just my theory, that you personally have brought the term bumper music into the normal American discourse. I mean, I've known what it is for a long time, but you've got it on a... You've taken it to a new level, and I hear it being said by everybody now. Everybody knows what bumper music is. They didn't know years ago, but they do now, and I think it's because of you, Raleigh.
Well, it could be, but the truth of my bumper music is it's for me, not the audience.
Exactly.
So I will take a request now and then again, but if I don't like it, I'm not going to play it. It is the one thing. In fact, I walked out of a national show because there was a question about me picking my bumper music. You're not going to fool with me on that. I'll play what I damn well want. Shut up and listen, or don't hire me.
Well, I can't. Like, first of all, I can't imagine anybody arguing with you about what kind of bumper music you're playing.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
They will.
I enjoy hearing what you pick, because you also, like, give this backstory, usually, that's very detailed about something that I was not aware of. Where did all that information and knowledge come from?
Collecting records.
How many do you have?
Oh, I don't know. Over 100,000. So, yeah,
and
about half that in albums, too.
Excuse me while I catch my breath. Where do you keep them?
Oh, funny you say that, because I've got three locations in Globe and one in Scottsdale, and I've been moving one of the locations. So suddenly I've had to put things floor to ceiling in boxes until I rearrange it. But normally, yes, I've got enough custom record shelves for everything. But at the moment, most of them are in in boxes. But yeah, and you know, then you have the argument, does it have to be the original label? And then of course, if it's not, if it's a label like Wand or Scepter, they used an awful lot of polystyrene, so you want to make damn sure it wasn't toward the end of that run or it's going to sound distorted. You know, there's all sorts of things like
this
that.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. This is exactly what I'm talking about, Raleigh. Nobody else knows this stuff. I don't know this stuff. You're talking about the chemical makeup of the vinyl, you know, being associated with a certain label and what year it came out.
Well,
I mean, that's wild.
Then you get to pressing plants, because that makes a difference, too.
Right.
So, and you know, it's all on the record. It's in the it's written on the edge. You know, you can see it. And if you know how to read it, you'll know where it was pressed.
You're right. Well, you know, that's one thing I probably should learn is how to read the edge of a record.
Yeah, like that's going to come in real handy in this day and age.
Well, listen to you. I mean, well, come on, who knows?
Well, before I put an 8-track in the car, I did two things. One was I had an Ampex reel-to-reel in the car, but other than that, I also had a turntable.
Wait a minute. And I just gagged on my Mexican Coke. Hold on.
Yeah, I did.
You had an Ampex reel-to-reel tape recorder in the car.
Yes, I didn't need a glove box. There was really no need for that. So I just had
Well, I know how an Ampex tape recorder works. I just never assumed there would be in an automobile.
Well, they didn't. They didn't have, you know, cassettes or 8-tracks or that.
No, exactly.
Know.
I understand.
And the turntables were terrible because, you know, it would have to track at so many grams that you'd go through the records too quickly.
Well, how about driving? Could you drive and play a record at the same time?
Look, if people can drive today with the screens in front of them, I can do anything.
Hey, I believe you. I mean, you have an encyclopedic knowledge of, not only Mexican Coke and the rules associated with it, but R&B tunes, record labels, Chicago Soul. I got a blurb here that says in 2006, Wired magazine cited your show as having, quote, the best bumper music. And that's what I'm saying. You brought this whole concept of bumper music you brought it into the zeitgeist. God, I hate using that word.
To the masses. I brought it to the masses.
Yeah, you did. And like, we've got Steve King doing a show on the weekend.
Yeah.
And he says, Steve and Johnny doing the show, and they'll say on Facebook, oh, we've got some really exciting bumper music this weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, how about that? Yeah, that's very cool. So is there anything else that you want to add, or literally about anything, quite frankly, whether it's Mexican Coke or music or anything else?
Well, no, thank God for radio, or all of this information would be utterly useless. So I am indebted that there's a reason to even talk about it, and it is always a joy to listen to you.
Oh, thank you very much. I mean, I'm humbled by your comment, because I've met people who are into radio, but honestly, we don't know each other very well, but from what I read about you, no one is into radio more than you are. The amount of markets you've worked in, the fact that you actually own, you own radio stations, is that correct?
That is true, but don't sell yourself short. Anybody who would use Chaos Part 2 in part of your openings is a god to me. I mean, Arbogast and Ross live.
Oh, man, I love them.
Yeah.
For those who don't understand what Wally is referring to, you tell them. They were a comedy duo.
3:31 a.m., according to Speedy Clip. You don't want me to go through the whole thing.
No, but I mean, who they were. They put out these comedy records in, 1950 something
was,
or other.
This was actually for the Todd Stores 1959 Disc Jockey Convention. It was on Liberty. Bob Arbogast and Stanley Ralph Ross. Stanley Ralph Ross was a writer. He wrote the Batman stuff, you know, and a lot of other comedy stuff. But they got together, and it was much like Flying Purple People Eater. It was a pimp on rock and roll. You know, nobody hated rock and roll more than Sheb Woolley. He didn't expect Flying Purple People Eater actually be a hit. But here they go, and they put this thing together, and it was a party favor on all the tables at the convention. And of course, that's the convention that spawned the Paola hearings.
You know, I don't know where I ran into a 45 RPM copy of that, but it was a long time ago, and I'm listening to this, and I hear, "Don't be nervous, don't be rocky, you're our teenage guest disc jockey now." And I went, I'm using that. And I have for years and years and years. Raleigh.
No, it's great. It's just great, by the way, and I'm delighted that you do. But it's, I mean, you really are the big time. You know, I've never been
please.
As big as
Come
being on WLS. I still have the WLS sweater, though, that I ripped off of Kevin Malloy, and I still wear it.
Well, look who you are now. You're on WGN. I mean,
yes,
to me, that's
the big time. Oh, this is the. But you know, there's something about AM radio in the '60s and
yeah,
the legendary
true.
Top 40
yeah, yeah.
stations.
I hear you.
It's never coming back. And to be
yep.
part of one of the biggest is, you know, I had a real good friend who died in the last few years, John Rook, and we used to have wonderful stories.
Yeah, I knew of John Rook. I was sorry to hear of his passing and. I'm sorry that we've run out of time, but we've got to do this again sometime. Raleigh, I don't care about arguing about food. It can be about literally anything. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, John.